Bit last week. Oh, and by the way, our worship team and Pat and some of Ted and Nina, Tom and Maria, Pat, Craig and Diane are all off on a prayer vigil retreat, if you would, praying for our country, number one, and what's going to happen in the next few days. And they're praying for us as a body and individually. They're watching us today, I guess, maybe, yeah. And I heard last night none of them could get anything on the TV, which is always good for a prayer retreat, right? So I hope they can get this on, though. And thanks for being with us, guys. We miss you. And let's get started. We left off in 2 Timothy, verse 7 last week. And I feel within that were two very important words. One of those words was consider. If you were reading out of the King James, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Two very important words for the time that we're in right now is to consider. Too often we just, you know, we think about things and we maybe give them 10 minutes, 1 minute, 5 minutes, whatever it might be. But this word, consider, goes much deeper. It's a word that we're to think it out to its final conclusion is really what the Lord is saying here. Really meditate, if you would, on this. And that's the way that you and I get understanding. A lot of us have wisdom in so many different areas. But wisdom is one thing. To have divine understanding on what to do with that wisdom, how to place it into my life and the lives of others. Now, that's godly understanding. And like I said, those are two very important words. And I just put God to the test on that. I don't know if anybody did that this week. But read a verse. And don't just go on to the next one. Stop. Consider it. Analyze it. And then just wait on God to give that understanding of what it means and how he wants that applied in each one of our lives. So a buzzword that unfortunately got taken out of our Christianese, meditate. Oh, everybody got worried about that, like we're going to contemplate our navels. And meditation is good as a Christian. Really think on what God is saying, not only to mankind, but what is God saying to me? That's when we allow God to open up our understanding. So up till now, Paul has been giving some really good examples of how a Christian, or how he was speaking to Timothy, but let's not leave this as an ancient word. God's word is rich and real and alive, and it's so needed today. He's speaking to believers also, besides to Timothy. Remember, not all things are to us in the Bible, but all things are for us. There's applications in there. And up till now, Paul has been giving Timothy some good examples, if you would, on how he as a Christian pastor or other Christians should live their lives on a daily basis. And he gave us, if you remember, the picture of an athlete, gave us the picture of a soldier, gave us the picture of a farmer, which are all good if they're done in their good state. Where I see Paul kind of thinking ahead as he did that, or myself at least, because all of us do that, well, you know, there's good soldiers and bad soldiers, aren't there? You know, some soldiers never really saw the battlefield. Some sat back in the USO and drank coffee. And, oh, gee, an athlete, well, not everybody wins. Not everybody that disciplines themselves and gets into the Olympics, right, Danny? Danny knows that right well. Farmers, well, some farmers, you know, the kids just sell the farm and get the money and go to Hawaii. So our humanness always looks for the lower example. Don't we? And even in these are good ones. Don't neglect that. If they're done to the proper extent that the Holy Spirit meant it, there's discipline in there. And there's putting your belief as those, or your faith as we've been looking, above my feelings. But what we're going to see is that Paul in this next verse raises this examples up to a different level, which is Jesus Christ. What a great example for each and every one of us to follow. So stick something in there, if you would, and turn to John 13. So now he's going to give us the best example to follow. And Paul wasn't alone in his thinking on that. I believe he was instructed by the Spirit that his Lord and Savior was the best example to follow. And you all know the story in 13. I'm only going to look at 15 because you and I have to apply this in our body here at Calvary Chapel and in our own personal lives. How do I use the examples that I've been given, and how will I use this example that I've got today? Because it definitely is an example. Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples in this story. And in verse 15, it says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. What an example. I have given you an example, a pattern, something to mold what you want to do. We'll never be Jesus Christ. I'm not going there. Don't think that we can have this sinless perfection or we're going to attain to a certain point. But we use him as our example. That's where WWJD, remember that? What would Jesus do? That's what that came. He was an example. He'd wash feet when they were necessary. He would reach out when necessary. He would reprove when necessary. We've got a perfect example. What does God want me to do in this time frame that we're in? He wants you to think like him, act like he would, be a representative for him in this time that we're in right now. So turn back to 2 Timothy, if you would. So as just a preference is all that was, is that our example now is Jesus Christ himself. And don't let it get to you, oh, I'll never attain to that height. Don't say that, please. You know, you and I are new creations in Christ. Will we be perfect? No. But we can each day get more and more Christ-like in our walk with him, in our thinking, in our love for him. That's very possible for us as humans. You want one like this? So let's read 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 8, we'll be looking through 14. I doubt if we'll get there. Word of God says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Not his gospel, but the gospel that he was preaching that was given to him by Jesus Christ. Don't confuse that as we read him taking credit for it. He's not. He just was speaking those words that the Spirit of God gave to him. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 11, and it's a faithful saying. This is one of those, there's going to be four faithful sayings that Paul continues to give us. This is a faithful saying. You can take this one to the bank, okay? And that's going to be a key of where we need to really get the understanding and what this is saying. This is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, verse 14, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Father God, give us understanding. Your word said, think about these things. We're going to just briefly look at them, but throughout this week, I pray that not only myself, but all of us would truly consider these words, and that you would give us understanding. Your understanding at the time that we are in is so critical right now, Father, that we might stand and just manifest your love, your promises to a dying world that's around us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's break it down. Verse 8, remember, and in some manuscripts, and the word that is not in there. Remember that Jesus Christ, and when I thought about that one, You know, remember, first word, and maybe you can underline that, because he ends in 14 in that train of thought. He ends it with a remember. And we as humans have this tendency to forget, don't we? Consistently. No matter how much we try, we always forget. We forget the car keys. We forget birthdays. We forget the, you know, names of each other. It's so common. But here Paul is saying, remember Jesus Christ. And I felt that, you know, what came into my mind was old battle cries. We just had soldiers, remember, in my favorite marching song as a young foolish Christian was Onward Christian Soldiers. This should be our battle cry. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember the Alamo. Anybody else got any other ones that men and women would charge at their life's expense? Remembering something to fight for. So remember the Alamo. Not a very pleasant outcome at that time, was it? But look what it's provided each and every one of us from that day. So I look at that as a battle cry. Remember, not remember the Alamo, which isn't bad, but remember Jesus Christ in everything that we do this week. What befalls you? What befalls me? As we think at times or hear in our ears, it's all over now, this is it, stop right there. Remember Jesus Christ. Without him, we're going to be prey to the enemy. So that, I hope, would be our battle cry and my tendency to forget things. And in our trials, in our sufferings this week that will come in one form or fashion, remember Jesus. Remember that he attained the glory of heaven by the cross and by the grave. It wasn't because he just, you know, was somebody very, he was a man just like you and I. He was God, just like God himself, he was. But in his manhood, he suffered. He suffered trials. He suffered tribulations. He suffered anguish, depression, the aloneness of being left where nobody was standing with him. And what the Holy Spirit is telling Paul to tell Timothy in his struggle to be a young pastor, to try to deal with a society around him that wanted nothing to do with God. Remember Jesus Christ. Use that as our example. And I'm praying that I don't overwork that, but this week, whatever you're going through, family, financial, medical, whatever the situation is, we have to remember Jesus Christ, or the enemy will take us down a pathway that it doesn't have a very pretty ending. But if we remember Jesus Christ, the seed of David, which tells us, you know, his manhood, which also tells us he's going to take that seat of David's one day. His kingdom will be set up here. Have we forgotten that? In the midst of all the things that are going on, remember Jesus Christ, the seed of David. He was raised from the dead according to the gospel that was given to him. Attained the glory of heaven by suffering. That's, we don't want to hear that too much anymore. And the grave. I know some of us, we're tired of carrying the cross. It's been a long time, hasn't it? Like, kind of, what's going on, Lord? He's getting us ready for heaven. He's trying to get us to remember all the promises that he made. He's trying to remind us that even in this struggle that we're going through, there's so much more. We have more time ahead of us in eternity than we have from today behind us, every one of us, if we're in Christ Jesus. We need to remember that. And I thought that was a very interesting word. Remember that. Remember him. Put something in there. Turn to Hebrews 12. We all know this one. Some of us can repeat it by heart. But I'd ask us not to try to just memorize it and repeat it. I'd ask us to consider it in my life. What is it that God wants to do? As I remember him, as I consider him. Verse 1 of chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What does that really mean? You know, I understand people are watching us, right? Is there a heavenly host, which I believe? is watching us and cheering us on, trying to get us to don't give up, don't stop there, keep moving. Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Not everything is a sin, but some things in our lives are weights that are dragging us down. It's like a ball and chain around your ankle. You know yours, I know mine. What God is asking us is, says, you want to cut that chain? Start thinking about Jesus. Start thinking about his promises. And let us run the race with patience that is set before us. Every one of us has a course. Every one of us are in a race. Some of us, it might just be a little sprint for the time that we have left. Others, it might be a marathon, long. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that he promised that he's going to return. He's either going to come back for us in the rapture that he's promised, whichever day that is, that's up to God. Or we're going to go out of this world naturally, which could be today, tomorrow, next year. None of us know the time any more than we knew when we were born. We didn't know we were coming into the world, did we? And one of these days we're going to go out of the world that same way. Because of that, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, so looking unto him. Take a look. This is almost like the disciples when they ran to the sepulcher, remember? One of them just looked, oh my gosh, he's gone, and he ran. The other one stooped and really took a look. What is going on here? That's what the Lord is asking us. Each one of us, consider, remember, take a look. If you haven't taken a look into Jesus Christ and you're sitting in this house today or you're watching on there, I'm begging you. Forget the Broncos today. Forget what the news on who's ahead in the polls. You better consider Jesus Christ. Is he or is he not your Lord and Savior? And if he is, then looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, that joy is you and I. He didn't see all the troubles hanging on that cross. Remember on the road to Emmaus when they said all the things that befell you? He said, what things? They were nothing to him. The joy that was set before him, this is hard for me to understand, but when he was laying there being nailed to the cross, when he was placed into that hole and up there and being mocked, he was looking out and seeing Susie and Jerry and you and, you know, hundreds of millions probably. I don't know how many Christians are there in the world today? 2.3 billion. Is that what it is? Okay, we need more. We need a little more, and you know, just in case, he'll get out there. But looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, he went up there looking, Doug, this is all your sin. He never even said, Doug, I'm up here for your sins. He just was quiet about it. Joy. I'm going to be with you in heaven. I'm going to be with you in heaven. I'm going to see you there. And then you're going to really understand what I asked you to remember about me. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider, verse 3, there's that word again. Calculate, analyze. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. It's what's happened to Christians today. We're getting weary, aren't we? We're getting a little faint. Oh boy, I believed that at one time, or I thought that was going to happen. Oh, we believed. Remember when the disciples said that to him? We're getting weary, we're getting faint in our minds, and what the Spirit of God is saying, whatever your plight might be today, please consider Jesus Christ, and that will help us in this weariness. Maybe a couple more steps, maybe one more round, if you would. Boy, there was a sermon years ago, just, you know, don't throw the towel in yet, whoever you might be. One more round. Consider Christ, his promises, how close they really are. You, Doug, as bad as 2019 and 2020 has been in the Gibney household, you have not resisted unto blood striving against sin. So whatever's going on today, take that verse 8, and we have to really do one thing. consider Jesus Christ. Press, as Paul said, it's not a 10-step program. It's not a 12-step program. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting what's in the past, I press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Am I doing that? Am I remembering all those promises? Back to 2 Timothy, if you would. Verse 9, because of Jesus Christ, because of who Paul was in Christ, because of the witness that he gave to the world around him, Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Paul was suffering chains. He was suffering imprisonment. And I love that word, but. And some of us are suffering those same, you know, you might not be in prison, but some of us are in prisons of our own making, aren't we? We're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not handsome enough, we're not this enough, I can't do that. It's a self-imprisonment that we're in. And that imprisonment is just the same, you know, chains. Everybody constantly thinking about the past, thinking about where I fell, where I haven't attained to where I should be. That's the enemy's work in our lives. As we contemplate these few verses in 2 Timothy, we have to remember that he's saying, remember Christ, though. Well, God's word, you know, it's not chained, is what Paul is. I'm in here for preaching the gospel, but the word is running freely. And what happens with us as Christians is, this is going on in my life. This is going on in your life, whatever that this might be. And what happens is the word of God doesn't go out. The word of God almost becomes kind of ethereal. You know, it's like maybe, or but the word of God is yea and amen. God's word, no matter what our circumstance, no matter what we're going through, is not chained. And what the Holy Spirit wants is for the time frame that we have left, get out there and get that word out to people, letting them know that God loves them. It's not chained. It's going to do whatever he decided that it should do. Turn to, put something there, Isaiah 55. Well, when I get this job, that's when I'll start witnessing. When I get a little bit more money, that's when I'll support a missionary. When I get over my heartbreak, I will start witnessing to people. When I, you know, we have all of these excuses is really what they are, when all God is asking is, please remember me, what I've promised you. And Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, Paul making that statement, building on that, that the word of God is not chained. And you know, it's not chained because of where I am in my situation. It's not chained in somebody's life that you have stood toe to toe with. And you think at times this is, now, you know, Tom, if you're watching this afternoon, my, you know, Tom and I go back way back into things that you don't, I don't want you sinning vicariously before we were Christians. But there were times that I wanted to witness to my friend and I thought, no, he'll never buy this. No, not Tom. No, God, this word, this one isn't going to hit Tom. And you see that he is one of your pastors. God's word is not chained. Don't think that anybody is beyond the reach of our Lord and Savior, no matter what their circumstance, what their appearance, what their socioeconomic conditions are. God's word, he's got it. And listen to what he says here. For as the rain comes down, in verse 10 of Isaiah 55, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void unto me. It shall be accomplished. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Remember that. Simple thing to remember. As soon as We get those feelings. No, not this person. No, I don't know enough. I don't know where that's. Oh, I can't even remember where that scripture is. I didn't write it down today. The Holy Spirit will bring that back if we're serious. Get out there. Give the word out, because we're in a time like we've never been in before. And the only answer, it's not what side of the aisle you're voting on. It's Jesus Christ. Period. Period. And I jokingly say, I'm a monarchist. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I serve a king. Well, then I better get going. What was the Servo Christi, Servi Christi, or whatever the Latin was? Serve Christ with my whole being, because his word will not return void. 2 Timothy again. Therefore I endure all things, verse 10, for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Therefore I, so Paul's in chains. Paul just told us to remember Christ, which he obviously was doing in his chains, probably witnessing and singing right there in that prison cell at that time, not bemoaning his plight. He endures all things for the elect's sake, that they might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory, that we've attained. Those of us that know we've given our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ. Am I enduring all things is the question I have to ask myself for his sake, that somebody else might get to see what salvation truly is. No, not today. Now I've had it with that person. No, I'm done with that. Am I enduring everything that comes into my life, because my life is not my own any longer? I'm bought with a price, therefore glorify God. My body, my soul, my spirit, everything. Am I enduring? And that's what Paul is saying in our vernacular would be my life for their life, is what he's saying. I endure all things for the elect's sake. Now, just a little sidebar. What Paul is talking about is his life for someone else's life so that they might know salvation. Life witness. We need good examples, both spiritually. We have Jesus Christ, right, is what we've been focusing on as a good example in this faith walk. But we also need some real good physical examples. Because what I see in my own life and in Christianity is, well, you know, everybody else is doing it. Even Disney shows stuff that they shouldn't now. We're always looking for the lower example. We need a good example. And that's what Paul was. And I just wonder, can I be that example? Can you be that example in your life to somebody else? That if we just think, well, it's not so much about me, it is about them. But for the elect's sake, that's a very, it's not confusing, but I know it's a well-argued point these days, and I feel I'll just say this. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that God elects some to be saved and some to be lost. It does not. So what does that mean? Well, Paul's saying, I give my life for the elect's sake, those that they might have a good example. But election is something, well, you know, what's the difference? See, God saves some, he doesn't save others. God never chooses to send anybody to eternal damnation. If I'm saved, it's strictly by the grace of God. And my acceptance of that propitiation on the cross, that sacrifice for my sin, that's why I'm saved. Nothing to do with Doug Gibney. If I'm lost, if you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are lost due to your own deliberate choice. Now, I'm speaking to, in my heart, believers. But you're going to be confronted with an individual this week that does not know Jesus Christ. And you and I have to be armed with this, in a sense, that we remember these are the things that he said for life and death. It's critical. Not only critical that I remember Jesus Christ, but that we preach what he preached, not veering off of those words, as Paul definitely did not do. Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Haven't been back there in a while, have we? Why is that verse 10 important? Paul, he was willing, he said, I'd even give my salvation up if you guys could get, you know, but we can't do that. I can't give my salvation up so that somebody else might. And I'm not saved because God elected Doug Gibney or Lauren, you know, or Danny and Michelle. He didn't, because we were so, he couldn't live without us, if you would. It's a choice. And this is where it really gets shaky in the Christian realm, I feel. There is God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Neither one touches the other. We don't touch God's sovereignty when he allows me to make a choice. Come in at 9 o'clock and there'll be no trouble, right? Come in at 9:01 and there's trouble. It's a choice. God has these choices laid out before us. In Deuteronomy 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you or thou and your seed may live. How can you leave out 20? Choose life. Remember, Jesus is where the battle cry. As we go out this week to face all of our demons, to face all of our problems and sufferings and losses and everything else, remember, Jesus, that thou mayest love, look at 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, hold on to him at times if it takes that, dragging you and I along. It's not just touching the hem of his garment. There's some days that I feel like with me, Jesus is kind of going like that. This, you know, I'm only, he'd have no problem. He'd probably give me one of those and say, get moving. But cleave to him, hold on to him like your very life depends on it, because it does. For he is thy life and the length of days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them, to your name, to my name, to all believers today. He's asking us, walk on this highway. Walk on my highway. It's a sacred place. It's narrow. You know, read that one. Find that one in the Word. And he's begging somebody in here today, let's give our life even a little more in the time frame that we have. And it's just a choice. Well, I'd rather do this today. I'd rather do that today. I can't go there. That speaks to salvation first as you're turning back to 2 Timothy. It speaks to salvation, about choosing life. And I feel that's a great part of remembering Jesus Christ, because that's why he came. He came to give us life. He came to give it more abundantly, no matter what the circumstance is. So again, my faith before my feelings, the choice of mine today to choose life. Do I want to choose life and all that it's got through the promises of Jesus Christ, or do I want to choose death, whether it be slow, painful? I've never used this pulpit as a political stump, not to my remembrance of 40 years. What we just read, the Lord said, choose life. Remember him. We are going to make a major change in our society in 2 days. And I don't think either one of the outcomes are going to be really good. But the Lord is saying, choose life. If you haven't voted yet, we as Christians cannot, should not vote for anyone who takes life flippantly. Choose life, the Lord said. I feel if I make a choice to bring a party in that is against life, I will answer to my Lord and Savior before the throne. So I've used it as a political stump. If we lose our 501c3, if this is being watched by someone, God bless you. I've got it in the top file cabinet, and I've been waiting it to give it to the government official who wants it. Choose life. Choose life every single day as we remember Jesus Christ. Choose life in the way we go in the next few days on our votes, because it is going to make a difference in the judgment that is coming on our world. Verse 11, do I have time? I got a little bit of time. It's a faithful saying. You know, too often we try to be faithful, right? You know, Brent and I were talking this morning. It's almost like, and this isn't to belittle anything, but an alcoholic, which some of us, we've battled. We've walked down this road, so I'm not talking from just some book that I read things in. But we try not to drink. We try not to do drugs. We try not to be foul and angry. We try, you know, we're trying to be faithful as Christians, aren't we? And oh boy, when we mess up, we fall, and the enemy really helps us, with a lot of laughter and condemnation. I think we're in a time frame where we need to stop trying in my own strength to be faithful. When I wake up, I present myself to Him and look to the one who is faithful. We're going to see that in a moment. I don't know if I'll get to it, but we might. Four faithful sayings so far from Paul. And here's four ifs in here from 11 to 13. And there are 1,595, if you're interested. 1,595 ifs in the Bible. That's interesting. It's the biggest little word in the Bible. If. Now, we don't like to hear this. We do not like what is going to be said in two of these. Some of them positive, one's a little negative. But again, it's a choice that you and I are looking at. And a perfect example of God's sovereignty and my responsibility. If we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we be dead with Him. How does a guy look at that? Eternity. But I think there's much more to it. The present. Have I died to myself? Am I dying daily to myself? You're not fully dead. You know, no matter what, even we can't crucify ourselves, there'd always be one arm flapping, wouldn't there? There's always a part of us humanness, like the night of the living dead. Remember when, and I've said that 100 times, when it comes up out of the grave, that old horror movie, and pulls you down. We battle this flesh. But if we are dead with Him, if I've given Him my life, if I've surrendered to Him, I've died to the old Doug, I come up new as the new Doug, then I'm going to live with Him. I'm going to live with Him both now and forevermore. Galatians 2, in the essence of time, you read that one, 20. I am crucified with Christ. Did you ever really contemplate that one? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm not living through my own power, paraphrase. I'm living through the power of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. I'm crucified with Christ. Think of that this week. Because if you are in that position, if we are dead with Him, we will also live with Him. If we suffer, is the next one, we shall also reign with Him. If we suffer, boy, that's something the Christian realm doesn't want. And the suffering, those things that we go through, the ruling and reigning, what I'd like you to do is, Craig is, for the 40 years I've known him or whatever it is, he's had this desire to really dig into ruling and reigning. You know, what that, some, you know, you might be the mayor of Netherlands. You know, you're going to get this area. God's got these little spots in his kingdom set up for those who have suffered. And I, for one, don't want to even think that I've got a spot in that ruling and reigning at this point when I compare myself, you know, to Paul, to Isaiah, to Jeremiah, to these people suffered. Well, God's got something. So for us on a lighter scale, the suffering that you're enduring right now, look what it says. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. We're going to be right there. These sufferings are going to be gone. The things that we see are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So this slight affliction is just but for a moment, whatever it might be. If we remember Jesus Christ, put yourself in the context of these words. My baby is gone. I bring it up because, you know why I bring it up a lot? Because I don't ever want to forget her, not that I would. But if I forget this time of suffering and I want it over and I try to check out or quit or anything else because my baby is gone, what happens to that end of it? See, these are the ifs that we don't want to hear. Well, God will do that. Stop that. These are contingent statements right here. If I suffer with him, I'm going to reign with him. Boy, here comes the negative. If we deny him, he will deny us. What does that mean? It means to get out there and our witness like Paul, endure imprisonments, endure hardships. Don't be embarrassed to the Lord, because then it's a profession. It's not a confession. Do we have time? Yeah. Matthew 10, a beautiful example of the Lord speaking this. And it's one of those things that, you know, I'm repeating it, but I feel I have to, because what happens? We forget, right? The way we started was remember. Remember Jesus Christ. This is all part of it. Verse 32 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's pretty serious. That's real serious. So what that means is, you know, when you're in a group of people, don't become a CIA Christian all of a sudden. You know, I'm kind of undercover. I'm not going to say anything. He's saying that's a denial. Are we embarrassed? Are we ashamed? And what that if is if you deny me, I'm going to deny you. Now, is that a loss of salvation in there? That's a whole nother sermon. No, it's not. It's to a person who is not in Christ Jesus. If you deny me, you don't want anything to do with me, I'll have nothing. He just gives us our own choice, basically, is what he does. See if we can finish up. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Whether we believe what you heard today, we were told to remember, consider, think about it, it doesn't change God one little bit. So don't feel bad if you, you know, I don't know about that, I'm not sure about that. That's okay. God's dealt with that for centuries. It doesn't change him, though. It doesn't matter what people believe. What do I believe? What's in your heart right now? Are you just making a profession of being somebody who knows God? Because there'll be one day that he says to many who profess that way, the word of God says, depart from me. I never knew you. So there's a difference between a profession of faith and a confession of faith. But my belief, my faithfulness, none of it changes him one bit. Of these things to end, put them in remembrance. He says it again in 14. Two times. You think he's trying to get us to remember something? Remember Jesus Christ. It's not like I'm heartless. Some people say that because of my background and the times I think of it too. I got destroyed being a young kid, being a cop in Harlem. I'll tell you what, that just ate my lunch for humanity. And I find parts of it still coming in to my life. But here he's saying, remember Jesus. Remember him. This week, as we go out and about our business, let's remember him. We're going to do that at the table. We're going to realize, I hope and pray, that this isn't about Doug. This is about him. All of his promises, all of the things he said, because we're so good, just like the people in Timothy's time, they're striving about words to no profit. Oh, is it pre-trib? Is it mid-trib? Is it post-trib? What's the difference? He's coming. Get going. What about the promises that he, what are we striving? Oh, that was for then. That's not for now. Oh, postmodernism says this. What's the difference? You and I consider Jesus Christ today, this week. Remember what he said, putting into our lives those things that he's given to us. I'll end with a statement. There was a theologian named Van Oosterzee, and he's from about 1835. He was known as a preacher of practical theology. So sometimes theology gets a little high, eh, Lauren? And we can get so confused that we really don't know where we stand. And he was one that came in with practical theology. And on this little thought pattern here, if, he made a statement that really hit me. He said, God is as faithful in his promises as he is in his warnings. Oof. God is as faithful in his promises, so remember that today as we remember Jesus, but he's also as faithful in the warnings that he has given us. Remember Jesus Christ. Let's stop striving about words, and is it pre, mid, or post? Let's spend hours talking about transubstantiation and all those, let's stop. We need to get out the love of Jesus Christ. Remember why he died, because he loved us. It's that simple, John 3:16. That's it. And we need to get that out to a dying generation, because we are in for quite a ride in the next who knows what. So Father God, I pray that this hit all of our hearts in the way that you decided that it was going to go out and touch each one of us. Help us to remember you this week. Help us to remember your promises. Help us to remember that we've got eternity ahead of us, Father. Help us to try to endure the hardships and the trials that are in our lives already, and the ones that are on their way that we're not even aware of, that we might look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to go to the table. Let me say one thing, and Dave, would you and Bernie come up to us? Taffy gave us this cloth, how many years ago?
It says on the back.
Does it? But I don't know if you ever read this. We see things just like the hymns that are on the wall, and I've used it. We're like Skitch Henderson. Mitch Miller, follow the bouncing ball. Without the words, we probably would forget half of them. And here at the table, right in front of us when we come, there's going to be someone in here who will not take the table because you've fallen, you didn't reach what you thought was a height, or you're in some certain situation. Stop. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. Do this in remembrance of me. Everything he's promised to us. And I was in Psalm 138 last night, and it says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, and boy, isn't that you? Why did I look at Rick? I could look at you, Donna, Jerry Roy. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou will revive me. Remember, he said that. Don't forget it. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. This is all about him. Whatever concerns you today concerns Jesus Christ. Trust me, I think that's a faithful saying. Whatever it is, whether it's the death and the separation of a loved one, whether it's a physical situation that's going on in your life, a health problem, a financial, God is concerned. Remember what he said about it, though. Dig in. Find out what he said about my particular situation. With that, we're going to go to the table, and let's do it.